What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
The streets raised me, so I got a little bit different DNA, you know. But what I love about the church that I pastor is that I have a language for the season that they are in. You have to understand that whenever God gives you a set man or a set woman of God, they'll begin to speak to where you are, that will begin to decode what you've been in. Now, because I am in the seat of your pastor in this moment, then I am going to begin to give you language for where you currently are. And the frustration that you have been feeling is because God is not trying to whoop you. He's trying to stretch you. Now, the thing, glory, I'm trying not to move too fast, but the thing about stretching is that will feel like punishment until you get the proper language for it. And if you begin to resent the stretching, then you really don't know what you're capable of. You don't know how far you can go. You don't know what you can achieve. You don't know where you can reach until you have been stretched. You don't know your full potential until you have been stretched. You didn't know you could be a good mama until you became one. You didn't know that you could be a good boss until you became one. And what God has you in right now is not a season of your death, but he got you in a season for your development. God is trying to develop you. And he's trying to get something up out of you that words cannot describe, and your family can't tell you what it is. But you have been searching for people to give you advice when people ain't even went through what you went through. So the problem with that is, baby, I can't tell you what season you in because I ain't had to endure it yet. Somebody shout, he's stretching me. And the thing about stretching, glory to God. The thing about stretching, one of the things that I learned is when there is a stretch in the natural body, there may cause a thing called stretch marks. Now, where my ladies at? Now, one of the things that I learned is that I was about 13 years old, and up until that age, I was telling the young men yesterday, I own a shoe store. I just opened up a shoe store, and I've always loved shoes. I've always loved sneakers. I'm a sneaker guy. And so I was so happy when people started getting on the, you know, it's okay for preachers to wear sneakers because I've been doing it. I don't care what y'all had to say. if they could wear $800 Gators, surely I can wear my Yeezys. But when I was about 13, every age, my foot would grow with my age. So at 11, I was wearing an 11. At 12, I was wearing a 12. At 13, I was wearing a 13. But then I had to realize, like, when I was laying in my bed, I used to feel pain in my legs, excruciating pain, to the point where I wanted to cry. And I would go to my mom and be like, I am hurting so bad. My legs hurt so bad. My mom would take heating pads and wrap them around my legs. And then she would say this, you are going through growing pains. And then I did not understand it. So she took me to the doctor so the doctor could give me language, y'all gonna catch it in a minute. The doctor could give me language for the season that I was crying in. And then I got to the doctor, and the doctor said, there is a gap between your bones. One bone stops right here, the other one begins right here, and there is a gap. And what is happening is that your bones are growing for them to touch. Y'all missed it. And you're growing at such a rapid rate that it's causing you pain. And he said, there will be stretch marks as evidence for how you have been stretched. Y'all missed it. God has you at a place, glory to his name, where he is allowing the growth of you and the potential of you to begin to meet so he can stretch you out. But as a record of what he did, he has to leave you evidence of the stretch marks. So this is what blew my mind. At 17, I'm just giving you history. I'm going to get to my text in a minute. This is all intro. My actual message is probably about 5 minutes. At 17, I'm trying to live a life that I'm not called to live. I'm selling drugs. selling weed. Little weed man. Weedy weed man. Good blunts. And see, that's the problem with church. You want a pastor there to tell you he perfect. But what allows me to deliver it out of you is that I delivered it out of me. And whenever God can get you to be real about what you dealt with, then you can testify to somebody else that was me. I was high. I was an alcoholic. I was a sex-crazed maniac. But God, y'all tripping in here. But I serve a God that can deliver you from whatever you in.
So here I am. I got a little time because we ain't got no other service. The ushers done locked the door so you can't get out, so you might as well just sit and get comfortable. And I was selling weed, and in the midst of selling weed, I had some people that was hating. And as they was hating, they set me up and they robbed me. And then when they robbed me, they just didn't rob me. They ganged me. They set me up real, real good. I pulled up to a house. The brick flew through the window. One guy in the back, I had a two-door Cutlass. Sitting on 20s. Now, 20s was like the biggest rims at the time. And I had a flip paint job. Yeah. And the guy behind me reached around and started choking me. Brick flew through the window. They yanked me up out of the car, ran my head against the car. Dude laid me down on the ground. They stepped on my arms and stepped on my legs and said, "Where all the drugs at?" And then they took a knife and they slashed my back. I got stabbed 13 times. Now, here is the reality. As I got older, the scar tissue began to heal in my back. And what they told me, the chiropractor, the doctor said, you can have surgery to remove the scar tissue, but then you may end up permanently paralyzed. Or you could just go to the chiropractor once a month, get your back adjusted so the scar tissue doesn't pinch on nerves to where you don't go temporarily paralyzed. Either you can go temporarily or you can have a risk of going permanently. I said, I'm going to go to the chiropractor as a constant reminder of what he delivered me from. Now, I ain't even to it yet. But now, as I healed, watch this. My stab wounds look like my stretch marks. See, after a while, what caused you pain also looks like the same thing that caused you growth. If there is no pain, there is no growth. So here I am looking at my body saying, man, these stretch marks look the same as my stab wounds. And these stab wounds look the same as my stretch marks. And then God began to tell me, they serve the same purpose. One grew you up without the incision. The other grew you up because of the incision. One was a natural sense, and one was a forced sense. Both caused you to be obedient, but you choose which one is going to be. Can I tell you, sometimes God has to, when God is speaking to you, we're in such a place of disobedience that God has to force obedience. Y'all don't want to hear that. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. Because you think you can live any type of way you want to, do whatever you want to, and then God is still going to be there. Yes, he will be there, but there's going to be some consequences for your disobedience. I know you don't want to hear that. I know you want to hear that everything going to be all good, but God sometimes has to cause a pain to get your attention. In this text, everybody say stretch me.
Stretch me.
In this text, we see that Jesus is in a synagogue and Jesus sees a man with a withered hand. In verse number 6, It says, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man whose right hand was withered. Now, I want you to understand that Luke is a physician. So Luke is very descriptive in the nature of certain situations. If you ever want to read about the brutal crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you read Luke. Everybody else is going to kind of vague over it. They're going to talk about him carrying a cross. They're going to talk about him being pierced. But Luke is going to be very descriptive because Luke is a physician. You write from the lens of your profession. Now, that's something totally different. But you hear through the lens of your profession. You comprehend through the lens of your profession. And here is the reality. A lot of us are having conversations with broken people and you're mad that they're not understanding. People can only understand to the level of their wholeness. And the reason why you can't get through to them is because they ain't got no wholeness. And you got to understand the problem ain't them, is that they need to be whole. And you only can comprehend and understand to the level of your degree of your wholeness. So Luke is a physician. Luke begins, he's the only writer. This story is in two of the Gospels, and they do not depict the right hand. Luke depicts the right hand because the right hand is classified as the clean hand. The left hand is the unclean hand. I know I got some left-handed people in here, so I'm sorry, but you would have been classified as the unclean person. The reason why when people shake hands, they shake hands with the right hand. It is a sign of society that you are in good standing. This man, not just physically, but sociologically, excommunicated because the good hand does not work. He is handicapped, not just physically, but the right hand of fellowship for my church people does not work. So he is crippled as society sees him. But he is at the synagogue. Y'all missed it. He is at the synagogue with his dysfunction. Yeah. Okay, y'all. He's at the synagogue with his dysfunction. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter number 13, it says this, that if any man be lame, if any man have an issue, he is not allowed into the synagogue. But because we are in the New Testament, this man still shows up to the synagogue. We don't know if he's actually in a service or if he's just standing outside, but guess what? He is present. Don't worry, I come back to it. Verse number 7 says this. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Guess what? This is what blows my mind. People watch this. The scribes and the Pharisees did not even believe in Jesus. Y'all tripping. But had an expectancy that he would heal. Y'all are bugging today. Baby, you are a believer and you don't even think he can heal you. And we got people that don't believe that are watching just to see when he's going to. It's crazy. That's so crazy to me. We come to church. We pay our tithe. We say we trust God. And if you're educated, you believe God, and you say, I love God with everything in me, and I believe that God can do whatever he wants to do. But then let somebody get sick. Let the doctor give you a report you don't want to believe, and it shakes you to the core. And then we have a hard time believing God can heal. But these people that did not believe in him had an expectancy of him that if he saw somebody disabled, he would do something about it. Y'all, they knew if we watch this Joker closely, he about to heal somebody. See, you tripping because you come into church and you ain't got no expectancy on you.
You don't expect nothing to happen. You just be like, you know what? It's just church as usual. I'm just going to go to church. But baby, I was glad when they said unto me, let me enter into the, y'all tripping. Baby, when I come into church, I'm expecting something to break loose. I'm expecting my heart to be mended. I'm expecting my body to be healed. And matter of fact, if I don't stand in the need of something, baby, my bloodline needs something. My mama needs something. My daddy needs something. My brother needs something, and it don't matter if they here or not here. I'm gonna be an intercessor today, and I'm gonna put their name on the altar. Why? Because I believe he's going to do something.
Hey, they said, watch him, watch him, watch him. Look at him. There you go. Look at him. Look at him. He gonna heal somebody. Watch. Watch. Soon as he heals somebody, we gonna get him. Look at him, looking around here. Look so, yeah, you see that man with the hand? Look at him, look at him. If Jesus catch eye contact with him, I bet you he heal him. Watch. And this is what's so crazy. They weren't followers of him because they believed him. They was followers of him to see when he did it, that they can hold it against him. You need to be careful, because everybody that's a follower really don't believe. But baby, I need some people that believe that God can do the supernatural, the unspeakable, from what eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God wants to do. I don't need my friends around me that don't believe.
See, you think you got a crew because all y'all come to church.
Oh, yeah, me and my crew, we go to church.
But does your crew believe?
You can come and still not believe. Y'all tripping in here.
You can come and still not believe. I don't need goers. I need believers.
So they watched him. They watch him, and watch what happens next. I'm just a Bible preacher, that's all. And then watch what happens next. It says, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man with the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Now watch this. Because what Jesus was doing is that Jesus was trying to see if the man was going to use an excuse on why he did not do what he said. When Jesus asked the man, stand and arise, he was saying, I know your hand not working, but everything else does work. So what God will do before he gives you what you're praying for is to see how you use what you got. And y'all, Baton Rouge, I thought we was in here. When God is trying to test you, when he says, oh, when you out here praying these big prayers, God is saying, what you gonna do with what you got? I know you praying for a husband, but are you a wife yet? Do you know how to clean yet? What do you know how to do? I need you to use what you got.
He says, stand and arise, because what he was saying is, your ears work, right? Did you hear? You can hear me? Your ears work? Then he says, yeah, I heard him. He says, now use your legs. Stand and arise. He uses his legs. He get on up. And then he tells him, I want you to stand here, use what you have so you can get what you don't. What God does in every miracle is that he tests what you have before he gives you what you do not have. The thing that you are praying for, maybe you have not seen it yet because you stopped using what you do have and you still waiting on your quote-unquote miracle. But the miracle is that I'm using what I have so I can get what I...
Watch. Then he says this. Then he says, he tells them, he says, I will ask you this one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath? Watch this. To do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy. Then in verse number 10, it says, and when he had looked around at them all, because Jesus is petty. y'all don't, That man flipped tables, man. Come on. Y'all tripping. Jesus looked around at them because he asked him a question. But how many know when Jesus asks you a question, it ain't for you, really for you to answer? And they don't say nothing, but he look around at them because he like, yeah, I did ask you something. And he looks around at them and nobody says a word because hear me, because what he was trying to teach them is it makes no sense for you to hold a Sabbath or to keep a Sabbath when you don't even know what the Sabbath really means. If you're not going to do the work of him that sent you, even on the Sabbath, the day means nothing for you to keep it if you're not going to keep him, if you're not going to keep him in it. What is a Sabbath without him? So he looked around at them. Watch this. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Now, I want you to understand something. He does not, young lady, check this out. He don't touch him. He just tell him. When he tells him, the man could have said, I've tried to stretch it out before. Yeah. I'm about to go home. I've tried to do it before, and before it didn't work. I've been doing it all my life, and now when I did my research, this man is about 38 to 40 years old. You can't tell me between this 38 to 40 years old that this man ain't never tried to stretch his hand out. But baby, sometimes you tried it without God, and now God is saying, do it with me.
Yep.
Ooh! He's saying, do it with me. Now, watch this. This is what's crazy. God puts a demand. He makes a command on what he wants the man to do. Now, I promise I'm going to leave you alone. And I promise I'm going to go home. And they took me to Empire Wings yesterday. And I kind of want to go back one more time before. But check this out. He puts a command. And I would think, God, why would you put a command on what is broken? Because what God was saying is, I never put a command on where I first didn't put the ability. This is the reason why he says, let everything that have breath. Now, if I gave you breath, I'm telling you to what to do with the breath you have. The dead can't worship me, and the dead can't praise me. So when I put a demand on it, it's because I first gave you the ability. Pastor Mike, come here real quick. I want you to help me with something. I want you to help me. Pastor Mike, check this out. Pastor Mike, I want you to give me a black tube of chapstick, but I want it to be a black with the white top. I want you to, now, don't go nowhere. Do you have it? You don't have it on you? You sure? You sure you don't have it on you? Huh? You don't have it on you? I'm talking about like chapstick. You don't have that on you right now. Okay. You got chapstick? It ain't black? No, but I said a black. You ain't got that? Like nowhere in here.
I know what one is.
You know what one is? Okay. Where was it? It was where? It was under your seat. Did you put it there? He says, no, I didn't put it there. But I saw it under my seat. I made a demand from him. Because I put my own chapstick under his seat. What am I telling you? Is that when God makes a demand from you, you may not have it on you, but you gotta start searching around you to see what he's put on me so I can get what he asked me for.
Can you go get that for me?
Because God never asks you, hear me, where he first does not give you the ability. Thank you. See, the problem with us is that when God starts asking us of stuff, we immediately go to what we don't have. You told me to tithe. I don't have it to tithe. Here, let me just give you a word. If the money you have doesn't meet the need that you stand in need of, that money must be a seed. If it does not meet the need, it must be a seed. So immediately he like, I don't have it, but he was sitting on it. He didn't sit on it the whole service, but he did not know it was underneath his seat. And if he, when he says, yeah, I saw one, he didn't know where it came from. And if you anything like black folk, okay, you don't use unknown chapters. Because he like, I'm going to leave that right there. I don't know whose it is. I ain't going to pick it up. Ain't mine. And the reality of it is, could it be that you are missing the miracle because you have been sitting on it the whole time? He makes a demand. And what God does, thank you, Pastor Mike, what God does, I want you to think about this. The man's hand was withered. Withered means boneless. Oh, y'all. Boneless. No bones, just an arm. Withered, short, boneless, or discontorted bones. When he tells him to stretch, what he does is that he gives him what he lacked through his own reach. Let me just help you. You're not going to see it until you begin to exercise it. God is literally waiting on you to put forth the faith of saying, I tried it before, but it wasn't at your word. But now in this season, I'm about to do as you command, no matter how silly, how funny it makes me look, no matter who looks at me strange, no matter who talks about me, I'm willing to stretch. Now, I'm about to let you go home. This is my last illustration. But all of y'all about to help me with this. I need everybody to stand. And I want you to stand as if this is the best sermon you ever heard in your life. Now, what if I told you, where my keyboard guy? Come on, get behind me real quick. What if I told you, yeah, you can move all that. What if I told you that what God is about to do, he's going to do it, but he's going to do it at the expense of your comfortability. Last night, he'll tell you, I literally sent him the email for what I was going to preach at like 2:00 in the morning. They were in the lobby at 7:00. I was up toiling about what to preach, asking God what to preach. And God began to rest on me about this 11:15 service. And he says, I'm about to make 11:15 real uncomfortable. But it's going to be at the expense of what they prayed for. Now, here is what I want you to do. As you are standing, the same way Jesus tells this man with the withered hand to stretch out his hand, I want you, where you are, just where you are, this is about to make you uncomfortable. I want you, where you are, to stretch both of your hands out to the side. Now, woo. See, some of you are not obedient because you did this. Or you did this. Because you did not want to make the people next to you uncomfortable. But what God is about to do at the last few months of this year, He's about to make everybody too close to you real uncomfortable. Because they have been comfortable seeing you not stretch to your full potential. But God is about to get the full potential out of you in this next season. These last two quarters of this year, God is about to stretch you, and you're going to make some people uncomfortable. And what God is saying, He said, if you've been so close to me, excuse me. Give me a little room. Because what's on the inside of me is bigger than what I've been dealing with. You have tried to compromise far too long. You have tried to play nice far too long. You have minimized your gift far too long. But God says, this is the season. This is the season of extreme stretching. I'm about to stretch you out. It's going to make your mama uncomfortable. It's going to make your daddy uncomfortable. It's going to make your friends uncomfortable. But God is about to stretch you. See, this right here is for the people that really don't want everything God got. But I'm talking to the people that say, even if I gotta move from where I am, I gotta move out into the aisle, I gotta get to the front, whatever I gotta do, I gotta reach my full potential. I refuse to not be stretched in this season. He's stretching your anointing. He's stretching your glory. For about 100 of you, He's stretching your bank accounts. And what He's going to do, He's about to breathe on your bank account. But you have been playing nice far too long. You have been helping everybody else. You've been paying bills that aren't your responsibility. But God is about to remove the spirit of trying to please everybody off of you. God is about to give you a resolve about what you feel, about where you are. You will no longer try to people please in this next season. I'm going to make you real uncomfortable. And what God is about to do with me, give me a little room, 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 give me a little room. Yes. Yes.